So going back to work will require very advanced solutions that include IoT, cloud, and more. How about we jump into how these kind of applications are built with Ben Kudvitz from Insight, one of our top partners. We'll look at the solution, the hardware, and how it's been developed leveraging Azure IoT Edge. Hey everyone, this is the IoT Show. I'm Olivier, your host, and today we have Ben Kudvitz from Insight, and we will talk about going back to work safely with a great set of solutions that our partner Insight is building. Ben, thanks for joining the show today.
Absolutely, thank you.
So for our audience, can you tell us a bit about yourself and about Insight, your company?
Sure. So my name is Ben Kudvitz. I am the Chief Architect of IoT for our Digital Innovation Group. And our Digital Innovation Group is kind of a number of software engineers, about 1,000 of us all throughout the world. And we build a lot of custom solutions, including the solution we're going to talk about today, the Connected Platform. We also have a number of other divisions like Connected Workforce, Supply Chain Optimization, and a variety of others that provide solutions around, you know, networking, project management, data centers, and things like that.
Interesting. And so with all of these technologies and field that you're covering, there's, a lot of IoT involved. And as a matter of fact, and especially in these times, we are seeing scenarios that have existed for some time, but were not, you know, as important as they are becoming now. So I'd like for you to tell us a bit more about the type of devices, the type of equipment that you've been putting together in these solutions to help companies going back to work and making sure that everyone is safe and sound. So let's get into, you know, some examples of these devices and the scenarios that we're covering here.
Absolutely. So I think one of the great things about the organization I belong to is that we have a lot of great partnerships, not only with Microsoft like you guys, but with a lot of hardware companies. And that's one of Insight's traditional characteristics is they had a lot of hardware solutions. They're one of the biggest resellers of Dell and Lenovo and Apple and a number of other products, as well as Microsoft Office and those types of products as well. So this is really right in their wheelhouse. And so when it comes down to kind of IoT, you know, hardware capabilities, it was a really natural kind of momentum for us to get partnered up with these other companies to build solutions around it. A number of years ago, we built a solution for hand sanitizers in healthcare systems with a company called Gojo. And so we were kind of tracking how much people were kind of washing their hands. And so that was kind of a natural integration into this kind of return to work scenario. So you kind of see on the right here a number of different hardware solutions that we have where there's, you know, contact thermometers where you can take people's temperature right away. There's thermometers that are actually in cameras, so that can detect a lot of different people in frame, like up to 30 people in frame that you can kind of see in the middle there. On the left, we have a people counting camera that can, you know, detect how many people are in frame, and then we can kind of discern how well people are social distancing because of that. I have an example of a Dell Gateway in here on the right, which is what I'm going to be demoing in the solution that we have today. And then we have a Citizen Care Pod on the lower left where people could use a conversational agent to do a survey to indicate, you know, like what's the likelihood that they have an infection. And it can also obviously take temperatures. And with a conversational agent, the idea that you're not touching a screen and you can actually talk to it in a variety of different languages is really powerful, and it allows for, you know, the less transfer of you know, infections.
Interesting.
You can use light. Yes, go ahead.
There's a topic that we're super geeky. I see all these cameras and so I wanted to jump in. It's something that we discussed just before starting the recording that is super important to mention is notion that as a company, you really have data privacy and customers' privacy, you know, top of mind. We'll discuss more about, you know, how the technology is helping you getting in there. But I wanted to, as people are looking at these cameras and listening about the scenarios that are about, you know, capturing your image and temperature and sending that information somewhere, I think it's important that from the get-go, we mention the fact that this is top of mind in these kind of solutions.
Yeah, that's a really good question. And it's definitely something our clients and as we have started returning to work as an organization, it's a concern of ours as well. So being able to kind of put a thermal camera in place and collect that information and be confident that we're not, creating more problems that we're solving by letting people come back to work was important. But along with that, people didn't want to, you know, give up their privacy. So we needed to build a solution that was going to provide confidence that we were going to store any information about the person securely. So the way that's implemented is we take someone's image and their temperature, but we abstract that. We don't keep track of that face and put it towards an employee ID or anything for that matter. We don't store it as an individual and try to compare it with any databases or anything like that. It's really just a temperature, a time, and a face, a picture. And the picture typically is so that someone from human resources can kind of connect with that person and say, hey, it looks like you might not be feeling well. Can we take your temperature again and, you know, see if maybe you need to go home for the day?
Got it. Well, let's look at the application itself, that connected platform that you've been building.
Absolutely. So this slide's kind of a pseudo architecture that gives us kind of the flow of everything and all the participants. So some of the things we saw in the previous slide, the hardware that we had, like the contactless thermometer, the thermal cameras, the soap dispensers, they all kind of can become part of this ecosystem, but it's kind of an a la carte solution. So we don't say everybody's going to have a contactless thermometer. We don't say everybody has to have smart cones. We allow you to say, okay, this is the solution I need. And we obviously have packages and recommendations based on the needs of the client, but it doesn't have to be a one size fits all. And so Microsoft IoT Edge really helps us, you know, to put all these together and really kind of consolidate it at the edge. And that provides us a lot of capabilities like, obviously storage and just optimization around computing that can be done, you know, closer to where these events are happening. And then you can opt into sending it to the cloud if it's necessary. But with, you know, for example, something like audible and visual alerts here on the bottom right, it's really something that can be done completely offline. You don't need to be online to, you know, give a visual indication that maybe there's an issue with maybe the soap dispenser is empty. Maybe there's too many people close to the smart cones. So the ability to kind of work offline and online with physical kind of alerts and audible alerts, that's really powerful. And the fact that it just kind of, it can self-heal itself and connect back to the network and everything just kind of reconciles is really powerful. And so from the edge, that's really where everything, where the rubber meets the road. And then we have a one-stop shop with IoT Hub to send that data up to the cloud. And then the connected platform has people, places, things, and dings as the concept around how to interact with the platform. So people obviously being the people interacting with the application, places is where you're putting all these things. Things are obviously devices, and dings are like alerts and notifications.
Okay. So how does it look like in terms of the actual application?
So we have a nice, kind of screenshot on the right here of our location view and our kind of main dashboard. And then the people view is kind of behind that. All right. So these are the screenshots from the application itself. So on the left, we have a Bosch camera that can do people counting. And you know, the reason that's important is that if you have people gathered together in too close of an area, that's obviously not exercising very good social distancing. So having a camera that can kind of do the detection of people is really critical. And it helps us in the sense that, like, we're kind of taking the solution with the idea of a camera as a sensor or a camera as a camera. And in this case, we're using camera as a sensor. And so the camera is basically doing all the inferencing of its own, capturing all that data for us, and an actual snapshot of evidence that comes along with the payload, as well as the time and the temperature, or in this case, the number of people that have been counted, and sends that along to us. What's really great about that is that on the edge, we can handle a lot of cameras at the same time, because we're getting a small amount of telemetry data from a lot of cameras, as opposed to us, you know, trying to use some inferencing on the edge with streaming video, which would take up a lot more resources.
And actually, I see this one is a Bosch camera, so I suppose it's an off-the-shelf device, and it means also that by doing that, you can use different types of cameras from different manufacturers, and you basically make the solution more flexible, because if there's a requirement for a specific type of camera or camera that is actually certified for a specific environment or whatever, you can use it, right?
Yeah, that's a really good point. And you know, one of the things with our partnership with a lot of hardware companies is because we have such good relationships with them, we're able to kind of move fast. And because this is a solution that where time is of the essence, and we want to make sure that we can kind of respond to the needs of people getting back to work quickly, we wanted to get something off the shelf that could function this way. And what's great about this is that there's well-supported and universal protocols that we can use for this, so that it's not like we have to do Bosch and then we have to do Invidtech and then we have to do Bolide. We can kind of do one API call that really handles all of them and gets all those inferences in one swoop. And it's really powerful to kind of be able to build that once and then handle all these cameras and bring it to market really fast. So those are really critical portions of supply the need that's out there right now. So with the middle screenshot here, this is an Invidtech camera, and this camera can actually take 30 people's temperature readings at the same time. And so it's a pretty expensive device, but it's very powerful. And this is something that you would want where you have just a lot of people gathering, and you don't want to have to take a lot of time for someone to stand in front of a camera and confirm that their temperature has been read effectively. And then to the right, there's access panels that we showed in some of those previous slides, but that is, and I have one here I can bring up, but that this one actually can be used to, you know, take your temperature and
temperature normal,
and then it also can admit you into a building, so it can be part of a security system of a building. And so you can just be, you know, it's already got your face kind of captured, and then it allows you to enter the building, and it can confirm that your temperature is within range. And again, all these things are have APIs that allow us to capture that information and send it into this cloud platform, so that people can, like someone in HR, can use this to say, okay, I know who that is, I can go talk to that person, but only they have access to this information. It's not something that's available to all the employees or publicly on the internet.
Got it. So let's look under the hoods. What's in there, right? How did you guys implement an application? What are the various bits and pieces you're using?
Sure. So this is a kind of detailed model of what we're doing on the edge for the two types of cameras, two of the three types of cameras I just showed you. So kind of over to the top side here, we've got the Bosch people counting module, and this actually works a little bit differently. On the bottom, we have the Bolide thermal camera, and this uses something called ONVIF. And so I'll kind of go through how they both work. In the middle, you see IoT Edge and the modules that are participating in this. And so we have an RTSP module that interacts with the camera directly using RTSP protocol. And then there's a processing module that's taking the data from that and ultimately sending it into the connected platform through the Edge Hub. What I did is I kind of blew up those two modules and so that I could go into a little more detail. And so for RTSP, what the module is doing is basically, you know, authenticating to the camera and getting the feed that's required to actually get the metadata out of those RTSP streams so that it can capture the evidence and the temperature of someone at a given point in time and then forward it on to the processing module. The processing module doesn't have to do a whole lot, but it does have rules enforced, and it has to transform that information into the connected platform domain model. And we wanted to keep those separate in case we wanted to use this RTSP module for another solution potentially, and so we wanted some flexibility there. you can see blob storage in the middle. That is how we actually capture the evidence, which are in both cases, they're JPEGs. They're Base64 encoded. And so we can just take that and easily create a JPEG image in blob storage and then have that automatically sync with blob storage. Really convenient, really easy to use. Then down on the lower side, when we talk about Bolide, that thermal camera, then this is the one that can capture like 30 readings at the same time. That uses a protocol called ONVIF, and that is a SOAP-based web service. And so you can do a publish-subscribe type of mechanism there, where you basically send it a URL and say, hey, tell me whenever you get an inference, you send me an HTTP request at this endpoint. And as you can imagine, you can scale that really well because, you know, you don't expect a lot of people to be coming through with high temperature. So if you're getting, you won't be getting a ton of data from the camera, and that allows you to scale really well. And so not unlike the RTSP module, you're going to integrate with the camera's credentials in this ONVIF module, and that's going to be responsible for keeping track of this subscription with PubSub and also the health of the camera. And then the processing module, just like above, is responsible for enforcing rules and transforming the model into the telemetry model needed for the connected platform.
Got it. So you're definitely using the full capabilities of Azure IoT Edge, not having to reinvent the wheel on how to manage these modules. You basically focus all your time on that value add, which is the development of these specific modules, right?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, some of the things as you get deeper into these solutions, you're always learning new things and hopefully doing things better than you did them last time. And I think, you know, we have the module twins on here. And one of the things that it was pretty clear to us as we started developing these, you know, you can use environment variables, you can send data as a direct method. You can do this in a bunch of different ways, but it becomes really clear that that module twin is the right way to do things. And if you use it right, it's really fine-tuned and it really runs well. If you do it in other ways, it's harder to make it, you know, work the way you need it to.
Yeah, that's good to hear. I like this notion of twin, where you have this asynchronous way of synchronizing the state, in that case of a module. And I like to say a thing. At the end of the day, each of these modules on an IoT Edge device are a thing. So show me what's going on the cloud side of things. So that's the edge side of things, from the gateway up to that connected platform and hosted on Azure. Let's look at the architecture of the whole application.
Sure. So what we have on the left is kind of a little more simplified version of what we just looked at. But what is important is obviously from here we're connecting to the cloud through Azure. Azure's got a number of great tools. I mean, just, I don't know, probably in the hundreds now of the great resources that you can use to put solutions together. And, you know, I've done a lot of solutions in Azure, and I can't say that any look exactly the same. And this is no exception. But you definitely find your go-to resources that you're going to need and that you can rely on a regular basis. And so IoT Hub for any IoT solution is, you know, a really standard thing that you're going to need. And that module twin that we just talked about is part of that, you know, having that kind of concept of, you know, this representation of your state in the cloud that can, you know, you can interact with from either the device or the cloud and, you know, subscribe to events on either side. That's really enabling us to scale well. And I think one of the things we learned from this is that, you know, you don't want to go and just overwrite your reported properties all the time. Like in the module, you know what your state is, you know whether you're online or offline. So you really only need to update the reported state if it's changed, because nothing else can change that. And that's one of the great things about those libraries is they kind of enforce a structure that makes sense. And so if you follow it, then you can really be optimized and not be firing, you know, notifications on it all over the cloud saying that this thing changed when it really didn't change.
There are a couple of things in that diagram that called for a little bit of attention. And you'll tell me a bit about these, but there's a security one. We see, like, obviously you have Active Directory Key Vault for securing the whole application. Back to the question of privacy, are there things in here you want to call out that really that really help making sure that this application ensures, you know, the users and the company's privacy?
Yeah, and we have an example of this that just happened where a client said, hey, I know you're capturing the images for evidence, and that's important to us so that this, you know, solution is going to be meaningful for us so that we know who had the elevated temperature. but we want to own that data. We want to be able to control that data in our own Azure tenant. So we want you to use our blob storage account. And so we said, yeah, that's no problem. We are able to, you know, update the connection string on the blob storage module and then update the configuration and app configuration so that and key vault so that we could essentially manufacture the right endpoint to upload to with a SAS key that was authorized for just a, you know, very short period of time to upload an image to blob storage. And that, or I'm sorry, download to read it. And that was really pretty easy to implement, all things considered. And that gives the client a lot of peace of mind to know that, you know, their data is going to be something that they can control and they don't have to worry about us, you know, getting in there and doing things with it. So there's the enablement of that was really powerful. And, you know, in addition to that, because we're just kind of abstracting out this image and this temperature, we're not storing like an employee ID in the database or anything like that. So it's really just this abstract view of temperatures, time, and then evidence of that event. And so you can't really do anything to put those together later without, you know, knowing, you know, having a facial recognition algorithm go through there or anything like that. And so we've done a lot of analysis and interviews with clients, including ourselves, because we're using this solution. And these are the kinds of outcomes that we've come up with that have satisfied their concerns.
There's a couple of different aspects of these developments that I'm interested in before I let you go. So developing with hardware that I suppose and assume is not very cheap, like the thermal cameras and others, is something that can become a bit challenging, especially for an application that needs to be super robust. You cannot afford to have this application not work. And, you know, it's going to be deployed. It's going to be about letting people go to work. And so what are the things that you leverage from the Azure IoT Edge platform and your inventivity and creativity around it to make sure that you could really have the comfort of developers you know, being at home, create the application, but still ensure the application will be robust, will work at scale?
Yeah, we ended up, you know, kind of tackling this with, okay, let's get a bunch of cameras and this camera that can handle 30 people at a time is really expensive. It's like the price of a car and in an expensive car, but a car nonetheless. And you can't just shoot that. What's that?
A small car.
Thank you. So you can't just ship that out to 1,000 engineers and say, let's go to town on this. You have to be cognizant of that. So what we ended up doing is building a simulator. And I got to be completely honest, I've built IoT solutions before. And a lot of times we build simulators and we don't use them. And a lot of the reason for that is, I think when it comes to just F5, bootstrapping the app and getting it up and running, debugging, simulators are difficult to get into that pipeline in an effective way. But what became pretty clear to me when I put this together is like, oh, we've got Docker here. We can have the debug version of the deployment template, and we can do the simulation only in debug mode, and someone can just down, you know, they can clone source code, they can hit F5 in Visual Studio with all the, you know, Edge tools that they need, and it's just going to start running the simulator, and it's going to send, you know, messages up to the cloud, and that's really powerful, because with these you know IoT solutions, that's not always easy, especially when you have to orchestrate something with, you know, multiple containers and things like that. So I actually had a colleague that said we should use a simulator. I'm like, no one ever uses them. And then I started, kind of came back and thought about it. I'm like, yeah, it's not a bad idea. So for the access panel, this is kind of the workflow sequence diagram for how we integrated with that. And that was a fairly simple implementation, because you go into the camera, you put in a URL in there, and you say, send me heartbeats every X number of seconds, in this case, 15, and then send me telemetry anytime anything happens. So the simulator really just had to be able to do the same kind of thing and send a heartbeat every 15 seconds and then send telemetry every 25 seconds. That's not necessarily how the solution would work, but in order for you to, you know, test it and validate things are working, then you obviously want to get events on a regular basis. What was kind of important, kind of backing into the concept we were talking about just a few moments ago, is that, you know, in order to know the health of this whole system, I want to know if I'm getting heartbeats on a regular basis. If I think I'm offline and I get a heartbeat, well, I can change the state of my module to online, and I can update the reported state of the device. And then vice versa, if I'm expecting a heartbeat every 15 seconds and I don't get one, I can say, okay, this doesn't seem right. Let me set the reported state of the device to unknown or offline until I can get this back online and be confident that it's working. So
there's also the aspect you were saying of earlier on in our discussion about unit tests, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we ended up doing for testing was, a lot of these IoT edge solutions, I'm sure a lot of the viewers have seen those. There's just not a lot of code, and so they just put it all in one file. And you know, I've done it myself, but it doesn't really work well when you have something that gets kind of complicated, where you have to do polling, you've got to check on things on a regular basis. And so, as I looked at the solution, I quickly realized I just needed to build out a solution that made sense, that was testable, that people could understand when they went into it. And I've done a few kind of background routines over my career, and there's kind of a pattern I've always followed. It's kind of like the command pattern, and it just uses jobs where you just essentially run the job. And with IoT Edge, you know, we could bootstrap everything with an IOC container. In this case, I need to actually listen to HTTP messages anyway, so I needed the ASP.NET, you know, core image to kind of inherit from in Docker. And so that gave me all the IOC stuff I needed for bootstrapping my dependencies. And so to test it, I can really put everything I need to actually, you know, test in a job. So all the real code that's doing anything interesting, like setting the state of these things, subscribing, restarting the device, these are all in jobs. And those jobs are responsible for changing the state of the module and all that kind of stuff. And so by putting everything in there, I was able to just test everything. And I had to mock just a few services that are hiding behind interfaces. And so those were essentially that Envif SOAP API that we talked about earlier. There was IoT Edge, which is like setting your reported properties, sending messages out to the Edge Hub, and you know, things that are specific to that implementation, and then storage. So you know, things that you obviously don't want to happen in your tests, that's what we're mocking. And it worked out pretty well. You could kind of encapsulate everything that was really specific to the solution in a job, and then you know, do your testing around that.
That's pretty impressive. So Ben, if you one day decide to write a blog post or white paper on best practices for developing with IoT Edge, let me know. I'd be more than happy to send it out to all our developers out there.
Oh, I appreciate the offer, and I probably will do that.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that was a very nice insight into the Insight, connected platform. I really appreciated the time you spent at explaining not only, you know, how useful these kind of applications are, but also how they're made and developed. So thanks again, Ben, for joining us today. Everyone, if you want to learn more about Insight and the connected platform, you can go to aka.ms/IoTShow/Insight Connected Platform in one word. One last word, Ben, for you.
Thank you for letting me on, and I'm a big fan and looking forward to seeing some more of your shows.
Well, people will be fan of you now with the details you provided on IoT Edge development. Hey, everyone, thanks for tuning in again, and I hope to see you soon. Don't forget to subscribe. Bye.